national headlines
and the local stories you care about.
WLBB Carrollton News Talk 1330
FM 106.3.
Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Raddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this beautiful Monday. We're pleased to have in the studio Bruce Guthrie, because this is the week. We've been talking about it for several weeks now. But coming this Thursday from 9 to 3 p.m. at City Station is the 2025 Carroll County Fentanyl Awareness Summit. How many years now?
This is the third one.
Third year, and it's growing and it's becoming more impactful every year. Just a couple of numbers so that you'll know. We tend to average in the 20s for deaths due to fentanyl in Carroll County. Fentanyl is 100 times more powerful than morphine and 50 times more strong and then stronger than heroin. 64% of the drug-related deaths in Carroll County are due to fentanyl. And the average age of death, which is, this is the horrific part to me, or one of the many horrific parts, is the average age of death due to fentanyl is 43. So the public is invited and encouraged to attend. This is part of the Carroll County Fentanyl Awareness Coalition. StopFentanylNow.com is the website. There's going to be a lunch. Lunch is provided this Thursday. Go to tanner.org/fentanyl to register for lunch. We're going to have all kinds of speakers, including Brian Gibson, Lindsay Sizemore, law enforcement officials, our own Carroll County Coroner Keith Hancock, and testimonies from those who have lost loved ones. And I imagine, Bruce, you'll be speaking also.
Not this time. Not I've this spoken in the very first one. And given my story, and I have, you know, done some things up there. I am not on the list this time. I think they want to do a little more, just change it around a little bit.
We're going to have plenty of vendors. Again, it's open to the public. Lunch is provided 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on City Station, 2115 Maple Street, Carrollton, Georgia. We'll talk about that several times going forward. Again, our guest this morning is Bruce Guthrie. He's a journalist, a longtime journalist. He's now an activist to bring awareness to the fentanyl issue and to hopefully stop the use of fentanyl in this country. His story involves the death of his son, and I think the most appropriate thing, Bruce, is just to tell us your story.
March 16th, 2021. Was the day that I will probably never forget. It was the day, the morning, March 15th overnight into the 16th, I got a call about 3 o'clock in the morning, saying that my son Cody was gone. Without going into a lot of details, you know, and on that, I went to the emergency room, which, was just about 2 minutes from my house. And I went and seen it for myself. And I can't really tell you the feeling. It's really indescribable to watch him lay there on that gurney and you know that he was gone. And
how old was he?
He was 29.
Had he had difficulties and issues all his life?
Well, most of it. He was a football player. He was really good. Yeah, he was really good. He was on a team in North Little Rock, Arkansas, which was a 7A school. Alabama fans, if they knew Alti Tenpenny, who was tragically killed later on, but years ago in a car accident. But Alti Tenpenny, who played for Alabama, went to that same school after Cody did. It was a road game, and he had got his cleat hung in the turf, and he rolled and broke his ankle. And that is when the pain pills and everything kind of caught hold of him at that point. And he became addicted to pain pills then. And from there, I mean, everything just kind of spiraled out of control. And through his 20s, in and out of incarceration at every level, state and federal, it just kind of spiraled out of control from there. And I don't really know how to describe all of that experience, because there's stories inside all of that.
But he basically was a football player, so I assume he had a normal kind of high school life.
And yeah, I mean,
he was an achiever. Yes. And he was competitive.
Yeah.
And all those kind of things. And then it turned completely.
Yeah, just an all-American, you know, blonde-headed kid, you know, had a girlfriend, all of that. And was just, from there, it just spiraled out of control. He kind of got in and out of prison. He was doing things with the wrong crowd, and just.
But now fentanyl wasn't prescribed for him.
No, it was not.
But he somehow got a hold of it.
He got hold of I think, and I don't know the circumstances, because a lot of times these cases don't get investigated to the full extent, because there's a stigma about drug addicts and about, you know, addicts in general, that, you know, they were just addicts, so it was an accident. Well, somehow they got a hold of those things. And what I believe is that he got a hold of a pill that he didn't know was fentanyl.
Well, in my opening statement, it says here that it's 100 times more powerful than morphine and 50 times stronger than heroin.
Yeah, and he did have some back trouble. And I believe he got a hold of something that he thought was one thing and it turned out to be another. His girlfriend, who found him in the bathroom at 1 a.m, said that he had some pills on the side of the bathtub there, and he was just sitting there on the toilet, on the top there, and he was just hunched over. And by the time they got to him, they had Narcaned him a couple of times, and it didn't work. And you know, I think he, in some ways, he drew and gasped one more breath while they were Narcaning him. And it didn't register, it didn't work. And that was it. They took him to the hospital. And here we are now. And just, you know, it's a little tough to talk about just because I wasn't there. And I have to realize and recall from other people's talking about it. And especially the girlfriend. I mean, she was there. They had an argument that night. Mm-hmm. And she went to bed and he went to the bathroom. And then she woke up, mm-hmm. realized he wasn't in bed. And went to go get him. The bathroom door was locked. She had to bust it open, and there he was.
This may be a little bit too penetrating to ask, but do you feel some sort of guilt in terms of not being there enough for him?
Oh, Steve, I'm going to tell you, I have replayed his whole childhood since he died. I mean, over and over again, wondering what I could have done. Was mm-hmm. there something else? I mean, was there something? But Cody was never the kind of person that would ask for help. He was never the kind of person that would be open about things. And there were things going on. I mean, my divorce from his mother hurt him because, I mean, it happened when he was 5 years old. And I think he was just, you know, very hurt and very struck by it. And there was a lot of tumultuousness between his mother and me. But, you know, I had to figure out that no matter what, I think every parent looks back whenever, I mean, there are several parents here in Carroll County that I talk to that go through the same thing. You can't blame. Mm-hmm. I blamed myself for a long time, but I realized that that wasn't productive. And so it's time to move on. Do I wish I had another chance to do something different? Sure.
Yeah.
But at this point, looking at the past, other than his story, is pretty futile. It's okay to, you know, for parents out there, it's okay to grieve, it's okay to get mad, but it's not okay to blame, and it's not okay to blame yourself or anybody else. We have to get through it, mm-hmm. and that's when you know that's part of what this activism is about, is helping parents get through mm-hmm. these tough days, and the tough days don't go away.
Before we take a break, you know, the issues of growing up, like Cody had, you know, have been part of, you know, recent memory, last half century or so in America. But never have we had a drug seemingly as deadly and as powerful as fentanyl.
That's absolutely true. Now, fentanyl in its intended uses and purposes is great. But when it's becoming illicitly manufactured it is deadly, and it's immediately deadly. A sugar packet, a Splenda, you know, whatever you use, just a small packet will kill an entire auditorium full of people, and that is incredibly, incredibly lethal.
When Keith Hancock was on the program, I referenced an arrest of a Douglas County guy in Paulding County with 2.2 pounds of fentanyl. And it was said in that story that that was enough fentanyl to kill everybody in West Georgia.
That's correct. And I mean, it's probably
up to a half a million people.
Yeah, it's probably that and even more. I mean, I've seen it in Whitesburg. The former chief there showed me a picture of somebody who had it like out there in his console, you know, and it was like rainbow colored and it was just one big glomp. And I'm like, that is incredibly dangerous.
Before we go to our break, let's go back to Cody just for a minute.
Sure.
In his difficult times after he broke his ankle and he got pain meds and then right. somehow, what was the culture of people around him at that time as he became addicted? And were there people there to take advantage of him?
Yes, there were.
Tell us about what to be on the lookout for if you have a loved one.
He was withdrawn. Didn't want to talk much. It was like he was – that this is just his case, and this is by no means anything other than anecdotal on my part.
Mm-hmm.
He was very withdrawn. He was very, you know, not himself. You know, he was in his normal state, he was full of laughter. He was, you know, he was fun to be around. But in looking back, he was very withdrawn, distant, didn't want to talk, didn't want to participate in things. Was very just.
Did you see or hear of new friends that didn't have his?
Oh, I knew about his friends, and those friends did not, you know, were part of that crowd that he got mixed up in, and part of it was cousins and family and things like that
really?
Too. Yeah, and it was just that sphere of influence that he put himself into, or that came to him, just wasn't very positive for him.
What about money? Because he obviously had to pay for these drugs.
I'm not. I mean, he at the time that he died, he was working at a construction company.
So he had a good job.
He had a good job. I mean, he just bought a really nice truck 5 months before. I mean, he looked to be, and this was after his last stint in federal prison, and he got released in September. Bought himself a truck 6 weeks later, and seemed to be on the road to not just recovery, but to thriving.
Did the girlfriend stay with him, or she go?
Well, I mean, she stayed with him until he died. I mean, that's
she was there with him.
Yeah, so. And so it was. They'd been in and out, and you know, I remember the last time that I saw him was February 13th, 2021. It was a month before he died, and it was at my daughter's wedding, and he was an usher there, and smiling and everything, and I officiated the ceremony. We were all there. It was the best day we'd had in a really, really long time, and I just didn't realize at that point it would be the last.
Mm. Our guest this morning is Bruce Guthrie, a journalist, activist, who's working to stop the use of fentanyl and to honor the memory of his son who he lost to fentanyl. We'll be back. We're going to talk some numbers. We'll talk about the upcoming Awareness Summit after these words from our sponsors.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. We're honored to have in studio Bruce Guthrie, a journalist and activist to stop fentanyl usage. And we're promoting this Thursday's 2025, the third annual Carroll County Fentanyl Awareness Summit at City Station from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Lunch will be provided. We ask that if you're going to take advantage of a lunch to register at tyner.org/fentanyl. And a lot of great speakers, including Carroll County Coroner Keith Hancock, Brian Gibson, Lindsay Sizemore, a lot of enforcement, law enforcement officials. In the first portion of the program, we heard from Bruce, and it's about to be 4 years since the death of his son, Cody, as a result of fentanyl. What have you been doing since then to honor his memory?
Talking. A lot like I'm doing right now. Talking nationwide. It started here in Carrollton. I've told the story in the first summit a couple of years ago. In fact, it was a couple of years ago yesterday. And it kind of pops up on your Facebook memories, right? And that's where it started. And I've gotten some things going. I've been at Carrollton High School and talked to some of the senior class there. And I'm about to go on a couple of things nationwide. I'm going to be in Virginia in May and in Arkansas probably in April or May also to speak to a couple of churches there. Mm-hmm. As part of an organization I'm about to start. It's called 2911 Ministries, and it's basically a lot about the spiritual and physical health of people who can't do things alone. And I think that this, as it was with Cody, this issue is not just about drugs, and it's about the underlying causes of what would compel someone to take the drugs. I did see something that was so profound to me recently that said that drugs are not the problem, they're the solution. And what that means is somebody that has a problem big enough that they think the only way that they can escape it is through drugs, and that's their solution.
It deadens the pain.
Yes, and puts them in an alternate. I've never done it. I mean,
euphoric state.
Yes, and so when you get to where you're addicted to that euphoric state,
mm-hmm.
why would you want to leave that state if you're there with everything? I mean, why would you want to be in certain realities?
That's the thing. You know, we hear, you know, about heroin.
Right.
We've heard about all these since, you know, you and I have been children growing up, we've heard about these different drugs, but then when somebody says this is 50 times stronger than heroin, that we can't imagine what that's got to be like.
I can't imagine either, and I can't imagine someone taking this on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine someone putting themselves in such harm's way that they could die instantly and not be revived. I mean, we have things that will do some harm prevention, like Narcan, and that is the miracle, because I think our numbers would be astronomically higher without Narcan.
But technically, it's a synthetic opioid.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
So, we've for years now, I've been talking about opioids, but fentanyl now has kind of risen to the top.
Fentanyl is being not only just a pill that you can take or in some form, you can make it in any form you want, and they're lacing things with fentanyl. And I mean, we're talking about cocaine, meth, heroin, marijuana.
Everything.
Yeah. So to me, when I talk to people about the dangers of this drug being laced into something that they already use, I mean, it's pot is the first thing we talk about. And they're like, well, you know, I've been going to my dealer, the guy that I get it from, you know, I say dealer, but the guy that I get for years. And I'm like, how do you know where he's getting it from?
And what's he doing to it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just not even that. It's something that
if he wants more revenue, he'll make the marijuana more potent.
Well, I mean, I think the more revenue is part of it. It's not fentanyl that's doing that. Fentanyl is killing his customer base. And they asked me that too. Why would anyone want to kill their customer base? And I'm like, well, that's not really, from what the DEA tells us, is not the goal. The goal is not to keep a customer. The customer, the precursors of manufacturing the drug are being sent from China.
There's apparently three of them.
Yeah, all the way through into Canada.
Right.
And or Mexico, and the cartels are creating fake pills to make it look like some of the things we commonly take.
Two of the names of the cartels, one of them is Jalisco,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is Sinaloa.
Yes, yes. I can't pronounce those either.
Yeah,
well, I'm working on that. But
that's with a southern accent.
Right, right.
A Georgian accent. But, you know, so basically, so I think tomorrow the tariff on China is to go up to 25% in an effort to shut that down. And then I had somewhere I think I have it here. Hold on. Get this. I gave this to Keith Hancock. From October 23rd to September 24, U.S. border agents seized 43 pounds of fentanyl at the northern border. And we talked about the 2 pounds in Paulding. But 21,000 pounds at the southern border.
Yes, sir.
21,000 pounds is hard to conceive of.
Well, I mean, and they're coming in through trucks and in any way possible.
That's more than 10 tons.
You can go to the Customs and Border Patrol website and look at the news releases. And there is something in there every single day about seizures. Let's not talk about what gets through.
Mm-hmm.
They seize that much, and they're not getting it all. And they're not coming close to getting it all.
But now you and Cody, y'all were in Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
But now here we got Atlanta. Everything goes to Atlanta and then trickles out here. You know, in Arkansas, is there a depot like Atlanta there? Or?
Little Rock.
Little Rock is like
that? Yeah, plus there's a Highway 40.
Yeah.
Interstate 40 goes straight through it, east and west. And the Interstate 30 from Texas goes right into Little Rock.
There's an airport out there, too.
Yeah, there's the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's – no, I don't think anyone's immune. I don't think wherever you go,
so
you can get
Arkansas,
it.
So even Arkansas with the interstates and with the airport, it's just like Atlanta with the interstates.
Yes, sir. It's just on a smaller scale.
Just much smaller. How many people in Arkansas?
Oh, my gosh. 3 million?
3 million.
Yeah, that's not very many. Yeah, I mean, it's not many. I mean, it's Metro Atlanta. The population of Metro Atlanta is the same as Arkansas. And that's, you know, part of the reason I moved
Metro's
here.
I think Metro's bigger than that.
Probably, oh, for sure. Oh, I'm sure.
Twice as big.
I mean, it wasn't 4 years ago, but I'm sure it is now.
Yeah, it is now. It's terrible.
And that's why, you know, part of the reason that I moved here was, and I could make a lateral move as a journalist to here. And it was something to where, like, I spent a week in Arkansas last week.
Really?
And I, every time going through there, there's always some reminder. There's always some little thing. The sign, there are billboard signs on the hospital where he died. Those are everywhere. And just little memories. So I just kind of had to, you know, for my own mental health, I just kind of had to get out of there and just kind of, because it's so small and there's so many people that were connected that you could just run into him or run into somebody that knew him. And it was just, it's always hard.
You've been involved in this annual Carroll County Fentanyl Summit since its conception 3 years ago. Tell us about this summit. Tell us about local law enforcement. And how do you think Carroll County is faring now in the battle against fentanyl?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Chief Joel Richards for allowing me to be a part of this. He came to me very early in its infancy and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it because he knew my story. And it was just two or three of us to begin with. And now it's grown into, I mean, you go into, you've been to those meetings, Steve. You see how full that classroom is. I think local law enforcement here is working together, and I'm talking about Carrollton, Villarica, the Sheriff's Department are working together tirelessly to make this better and to improve these numbers, and they have. The cooperation with the Carrollton Police Department and the Villarica Police Department with me personally has been excellent, and I value my relationships with those departments to be able to help battle this fentanyl stuff that's going around. And it's just some of the body cam images, if you've ever seen them, are absolutely terrifying and horrifying. And they're just, it is, there are days, there was one particular one that they showed at one of the meetings that really kind of got to me personally. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it's there, y'all. I mean, if we're talking to the public, I'm going to say it's closer to you than you think.
And they say that in America now, over 100,000, generally men, 18 to 45 years old, are dying because of fentanyl or other opioids. Which, you know, when we see, you know, longevity charts, and you can live longer in Switzerland and Norway, and a lot of the reason we're losing that longevity is because we're losing so many young people to fentanyl.
It's getting younger. I mean, that we did say that it was, what, 43?
Yeah.
The average age in Carroll County?
Yeah.
It was 39 in the beginning when we started really kind of looking at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also seeing that nationwide that it's getting younger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're talking about nationwide, if the number's in the mid-30s, we're losing babies
mm-hmm.
to this. I know a woman in Louisville, Kentucky, who lost her 3-year-old son.
How does that happen?
Because sometimes when people are around them, that they use it,
yeah.
and they get hold of residue.
Uh-huh.
Even residue getting into your skin will seep into your skin
yeah.
and kill you.
Because it's only like a milligram.
Right. You don't have to use it to die from it. All you have to do, I mean, there was a
2 milligrams.
Yes. There was a Memphis cop who was doing a search on a house, not even looking for drugs, came across a dresser that had residue on it and put him in a coma.
2 milligrams is considered a lethal dose.
Yes.
We're going to wrap up the program, and then we'll let our sponsors take us out up to 9 o'clock. But we just want to remind everybody that this Thursday, March 6th, why is it important to attend? I'll leave that to you.
I think that it's important for education. And I think that's what we want to do. We want to educate the public as much as we possibly can. And not just that it's out there and it will hurt you and it will kill you. But there is hope. There is a hope that if you're in recovery, that if you are looking to recover, that there is hope for you to be able to live the life that you want to live without putting your life in danger.
Thursday, March 6th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., City Station 2115 Maple Street, from 9 to 3, as I said, some incredible speakers, some incredible information. And we're going to hear some very moving stories like we heard this morning from Bruce Guthrie. Bruce, thank you for coming in, sharing our story. Hopefully this will touch a whole bunch of people in a lot of different ways and different places.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Our gratitude to our sponsors, Oak Mountain Academy and Tanner Health System. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.